working on a walk somewhere down US 1. Back to living Florida days. Blue skies and ultraviolet rays. Looking for better days. I'm back to living Florida days. Blue skies and ultraviolet rays. We're looking for better days.
Tuned into our radio, Hillsborough Community College, Tampa.
It's a blast!
All right, I'm cooler than you are. Why don't you fix your little problems and light this candle?
He's right. Let's light this candle.
He surely is. Light the candle.
Yes. Resume the countdown.
Good morning, everybody. We're back. Back to living Florida's. Alive and again, live. The last 2 weeks, Hurricane Milton broadcast us, interrupt us. This is Hawk Radio, originating from the Ybor City campus of Hillsborough Community College in Tampa. And some fast facts about Hurricane Milton. He was the 13th named Atlantic storm of the season. He was also the second major hurricane to hit us here on Florida's Gulf Coast in just the past 2 weeks. Some things I found interesting at Milton's most intense, the night before landfall, he went through rapid intensification up to a major Cat 5 hurricane, had a pressure reading of 897 millibars, which anything under 1,000 can be considered a pretty devastating storm if it hits. It also had 180 mile per hour winds, making him the fifth strongest storm ever on record for the Atlantic Basin. 6 million Floridians were ordered to evacuate. USA Today reported that 33 Waffle House locations were closed. That indicated a red level alert on the Waffle House Index. And the day of, which was October 8th, leading up to the evening landfall, Milton's outer rain band spawned an extensive tornado outbreak. It set a new state record for the most confirmed tornadoes ever observed in a single day here in Florida. In total, a record 126 tornado warnings were issued throughout the state, and it's the second most of any state in one single day, only behind Alabama on April 27, 2011, at the height of that 2011 super outbreak. The Associated Press reported that across the state, over 125 homes were destroyed even before Milton made landfall that night. When Milton did make landfall south of Tampa Bay here at Siesta Key near Sarasota, it was as a Category 3 hurricane. He had sustained winds of 120 miles per hour. And again, he became the second major hurricane to strike Florida in under 2 weeks. Sarasota felt 107 mile per hour wind gusts. The storm brought significant flooding and damaging winds to much of the state. 13 inches of rain, in fact, fell on the city of Plant City. The Weather Channel reported storm surges of 5 feet. Further down south, at Naples Beach, they had 7 feet. 10 feet were reported at the Siesta Key landfall. In total, over 3 million people lost power in the state. Multiple days of long boil water notices were issued, including here in the Tampa Bay area. Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg lost its roof. And by October 13th, 4 days after the storm, USA Today also reported that over 250,000 Floridians had already registered for FEMA assistance, which was the most in a single day in our nation's history. Widespread fuel outages. Right now, initial estimates have Milton's damages at just over $30 billion, and that's a number that's more than likely to go up. And finally, so far, as of this past Friday, a report by Business Insider has reported that there's been 33 total fatalities reported as a result of Milton. So, this is the Evolution Exchange. Today, however, my regular co-hosts, Tatiana, Levensky, and Ike, Big Sarge, They all have the day off as they're continuing recovering from Hurricane Milton. But we'll all be back together again next Tuesday. As for right now, though, I have a special presentation of the Tampa Turntable Sessions, which is regularly heard every Friday afternoon at 3 Eastern. My name is Mike Frazier. I'm going to go ahead and dive in right now and pick up directly where I left off a couple of weeks ago before the storms, as together we will continue exploring the original versions of popular songs that you probably never knew were actually remakes and cover versions. So for about the next 50 minutes, it's part two of covering the originals, starting now on this special presentation of the Tampa Turntable Sessions. Originally born Cynthia Ann Stephanie Lauper, 30-year-old Brooklyn native Cindy Lauper exploded onto the pop music scene in 1983. Wearing punk outfits and sporting slight neon orange-colored hair, the quirky Lauper was hard to miss, but not hard to find as a result of her videos and her immense popularity on MTV. In fact, she even crossed over to professional wrestling as a member of the Rockin' Wrestling Connection, appearing at the World Wrestling Federation's very first WrestleMania. Lauper's 1983 debut album entitled She's So Unusual sold an astonishing 16 million copies and earned Cindy 2 Grammy Awards. A total of 6 cuts from that first album were released as singles, with 4 of them cracking the Billboard Top 5 and one of them, Time After Time, peaking all the way up at number 1. This, by the way, made Cyndi Lauper the first female singer to ever have 4 top 5 singles on the Hot 100 chart from any one album. Released as the first single in October of 83 was this song, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It's considered a feminist anthem, and the song peaked at number 2 on the U.S. charts. It sold over 2 million copies on vinyl 45, and won for Lauper the best female video at the 1984 MTV Video Music Awards. And what's more, since 1983, the song has been covered by no less than 30 other artists and groups. But guess what? Cyndi Lauper's breakthrough hit is in reality a cover version as well. You see, 4 years before Lauper's version, Girls Just Want to Have Fun was written, recorded, and released by singer Robert Hazard. Because it was never promoted or released as a single, it disappeared into an abyss of obscurity. And nothing at all like Cindy's release. Robert's original version is sung from a male perspective, and it's about women in the bedroom. So, covering the originals today on the Tampa Turntable Sessions, here now by Robert Hazard, is the 1979 original version of Girls Just Want to Have Fun on Hawk Radio.
ever seem to have one of those days where it just seems like everybody's getting on your case, from your teacher all the way down to your best girlfriend? Well, you know, I used to have them just about all the time, but I found a way to get out of it. Let me tell you about it.
Quick programming note, the Evolution Exchange is on hiatus this week, but we'll all be back together again next Tuesday morning. In the meantime, today you're listening to the Tampa Turntable Sessions on HCC's Hawk Radio. 17 minutes past the hour, I am your host, the aging teen idol Mike Frazier, and today we are covering the originals, discovering the lesser-known original versions of more popular songs that you may have never known were in reality cover versions. In that short set was first the original 1979 version of Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Robert Hazard. But then in late 83, early 84, the song is made famous the whole world over by singer Cyndi Lauper, while also establishing her as an international pop superstar. Then, from 51 years ago in 1973, we just finished hearing the earliest version of Smokin' in the Boys' Room by Brownsville Station. It's a band, ironically, who's not from Brownsville, Texas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, or even Brownsville, Florida, but from Ann Arbor, Michigan. 12 years later, in 1985, the heavy metal hair band Motley Crue released their successful cover version. Interestingly, here in America, Brownsville Station's original version did chart higher at number 3 than Motley Crue's version at number 16. But the Crue's version, it's considered more well-known thanks to his video, which performed exceptionally well on MTV. Next up on the Tampa Turntable Sessions is crooner and rock and roll Hall of Famer Bobby Darin, who during his 17-year career landed 10 songs in the U.S. top 10, including from 1958 and 59, Splish Splash, Dream Lover, and his English song cover of the German song called Mack the Knife. By the late 60s, rock and roll was rapidly changing and radically evolving as well, and so was Bobby Darin. Gone by then were the bubblegum anthems of when he was a squeaky clean teenage idol, like me. In 1966, at age 30, he released a folk-inspired song entitled If I Were a Carpenter. Sadly, it would be Bobby's final top 10 single as he died only a few years later. Since Bobby Darin's 1966 release, If I Were a Carpenter has been covered by other major artists with notable success.
If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby?
In 1968, the Four Tops took their version all the way up to number 20.
You still find me, oh, carrying the parts I made, following close up behind me.
The following year, Johnny Cash reached number 2 on the country chart.
Save your love through sorrow, I gave you my loneliness.
And in 1993, Led Zeppelin's lead singer, Robert Plant, released a version on his solo album from that year.
Oh, would you still love me? Answer me, babe. Yes.
Internationally, the French Elvis, Johnny Holiday, took his French-sung version to number 3 in Belgium in 1966. And in 1969, Yugoslav band Crveni Koralji released a Serbo-Croatian version. And in 1981, Australian artist Swanee released a version that climbed up to number 5 down under. Versions that are all great company to be in for and with Bobby Darin. But like several of his previous hits, Bobby Darin was only performing a cover version with his 1966 release of If I Were a Carpenter. That's because the true original, also from 1966, was written and first recorded only a few months earlier by singer-songwriter Tim Hardin. Inspired by his love for actress Susan Morse, the lyrics were written from the perspective of a man asking an elegant woman if she would still love and marry him if, well, he was just a carpenter. Fun fact about Tim Hardin, he was not some unknown starving singer-songwriter. He did get to perform his version of that song in front of a live audience of nearly 400,000. In 1969 at Woodstock. Covering the originals today, this is Tim Hardin with If I Were a Carpenter on the Tampa Turntable Sessions on HCC's Hawk Radio.
If I were a carpenter, you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? If a tinker were my trade, would you still find me carrying the pots I made, following behind me? Save my love for sorrow, save my love for lonely. I've given you my tomorrow, love me only. If I work my hands in wood, would you still love me? You answer me quick, Tim, I could. How could you above me? If I were a miller at a mill wheel grinding, would you miss your colored blocks, soft shoes shining. Save my love for loneliness, save my love for sorrow. I've given you my onlyness, give me your tomorrow. If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Could you have my baby?
Another original version on Hawk Radio. That's singer Nick Lowe and his band at the time, Brinsley Schwartz, asking, "What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?" The 1974 song was produced by Dave Edmunds, released as a single, and then failed to gain any traction or even appear on the charts at all. It wasn't until 4 years later when that same Nick Lowe produced the 1978 cover version by Elvis Costello and the Attractions, and then released it as the B-side on his 45 single called American Squirm, did Costello's version catch the ear of critics and radio stations. Minutes past the hour with me, Mike Frazier. Part two of covering the originals on the Tampa Turntable Sessions. I'm your guide, while today we're exploring the original versions of popular songs that you probably never knew were actually remakes and cover versions. Note that the Evolution Exchange will return live here next Tuesday at 11 a.m. Now, queued up next on Turntable 4 it's a duet. It was written and recorded by Holly Knight and Michael DeBar for the movie A Night in Heaven, a film starring Leslie Ann Warren, whose character portrays an older woman obsessed with a much younger guy, played by Christopher Atkins. Released as a standalone single in 1983, it went nowhere, but it became a big hit the following year when it was covered by and released as the debut single from the San Francisco synth pop band, Animotion. The song is about a stalker who seems to get more obsessed as the song progresses. At first, it only sounds like he's got a little bit of a serious crush on the girl, but then later on in the song, it becomes much more dangerous when he mentions that he has intent on capturing her. It remains Animotion's biggest hit, however, having not so silently crept up the Billboard Hot 100 charts before capturing the number 5 spot back 40 years ago in 1984. But since we're covering the originals on today's Tampa Turntable Sessions, this is Michael DeBar and Holly Knight now with that original version of Obsession on HCC's Hawk Radio.
slowly, and time can do so much for you.
Thank you. I stop to find out what was going on. For the spirit of Jah, you know he's beyond. There was a ring of dread and a session was there and seen. I could feel the chill as I see and heard and see.
You are dialed into the Tampa Turntable Sessions. I am the aging teen idol Mike Frazier, streaming live this morning from Hillsborough Community College in Tampa, Florida, on HCC's Hawk Radio. Before reviewing the block of music we just heard, let me thank you for joining me here on the Tampa Turntable Sessions as we are covering the originals today, exploring the original versions of several popular songs that you probably never knew were actually cover versions. You just finished hearing a condensed version from the British-Jamaican reggae group, The Mighty Diamonds, from 1982 with Pass the Cutchy. Probably no surprise to learn that cutchy is Jamaican slang for a pipe or a bowl or a pot that holds marijuana. So yeah, in other words, a cutchy is a pot. That original received very little airplay and may have remained obligated to oblivion if it hadn't been covered later that same year by another British-Jamaican group, a boy band technically, whose members' ages ranged from 11 to 16 years old at the time. Musical Youth. They altered some of the lyrics and changed the title to appease any possibility of censorship and then released it as Pass the Dutchie.
Pass the Dutchie on the left-hand side. Pass the Dutchie on the left-hand side. It's a go-bun.
Give me the music.
By the way, a dutchie is a Jamaican cooking pot, and while there's really no good reason to pass one around, it went to number one in 9 different countries as an acceptable substitute for radio to play. MTV too, with the video becoming the network's first black band to go into regular rotation. Before the Mighty Diamonds on Turntable 2, I spun up the incredibly odd-sounding but first recorded version of California Dreamin' from 1963, sung by Barry McGuire, and with the background vocals sung by the Mamas and the Papas. In December of 65, the Mamas and the Papas released their near-identical sounding version, which went on to peak at number 4 on the Hot 100. Then before Barry McGuire and taken from the 1955 film Unchained, you hopefully heard Todd Duncan singing the original recording of Unchained Melody. It's a song that's been covered over 1,500 times by more than 670 artists from around the world, and eliminating any doubt on whether it's considered a musical standard. In fact, in 1955 alone, later that same year as Todd Duncan's original version, musicians Les Baxter and Liberace each recorded their own versions, as did vocalists Al Hibbler, Jimmy Young, and Roy Hamilton. In fact, those 5 different versions by those 5 different artists all made it into the top 20, both here in the United States and over across the pond in the United Kingdom. By 1965... hundreds of cover recordings of the song had already been made, and yet for no apparent reason at all, the non-promoted B-side version of a 45 that was produced by Phil Spector and sung by the duo of Bill Medley and Bobby Hatfield, better known as the Righteous Brothers, became a jukebox sensation, propelling their version to become the most well-known and biggest-selling recording ever of Unchained Melody.
Oh, my Lord,
And before Todd Duncan's original version of Unchained Melody, I started that block of music with Obsession, as originally performed by Michael DeBar and Holly Knight. 48 minutes past the hour, you are listening to the Tampa Turntable Sessions. And now up, hailing from Liverpool, England, the Fab Four of John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr. They were better known as the Beatles. Arguably the most influential and well-known rock band of all time. Here in the United States, the Beatles had 31 top 10 hits, with 20 of those that went all the way to number one. On April 4th, 1964, Twist and Shout reached the number two spot.
Well, shake it up, baby, now.
Shake it up, baby.
Twist and shout.
Twist and shout.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, baby, now.
But by that time, four previous cover versions had already been recorded of Twist and Shout, including a top 20 version by the Isley Brothers from 1962. A year prior to the Isleys' release, and 3 years before the Beatles' version, the original version of Twist and Shout was recorded and released in 1961 by the short-lived American R&B vocal group named the Top Notes. Despite the single being produced by the legendary, if now infamous, Phil Spector, it was a commercial flop. Its failure, however, is not going to prevent me from playing that original in its entirety coming up shortly. But first, let me get back to the Beatles. By the end of the 60s, the band members had started to drift apart from each other creatively. And after the recording sessions for what would eventually become the band's 12th and final album, entitled Get Back, no one was sure that the work would be the group's last, though member George Harrison later recalled, quote, "It felt as if we were reaching the end of the line." But then, and for a full 6 months, from February to August 1969, the four of them did work together again, alongside their longtime producer, George Martin. What resulted was their 11th studio album called Abbey Road. With its legendary album cover featuring the boys walking in the middle of the street at the zebra crossing, the record still consistently ranks as one of, if not, their greatest. On side two, except for a hidden cut at the very end, the album closes with the three-song medley written by McCartney of Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight, and the fittingly titled The End. However, or despite McCartney's masterful medley, both Golden Slumbers and Carry That Weight are, theoretically, cover versions. You see, the band's Abbey Road album was released on September 26, 1969, but only 1 week before that date, on September 19, 1969, the Beatles' label mates, a Scottish band called White Trash, released their version as a single on Apple Records, technically making two-thirds of the Beatles medley a cover version. So, same songs, same record label, different bands, 1 week. And, in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. Here on the Tampa Turntable Sessions is that original version by 1 week, of Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight by the band White Trash right now on Hawk Radio. This is Hawk Radio. That was the Top Notes with the original first version of Twist and Shout. And I am Mike Frazier. And damn it, we've run out of time for this week's Tampa Turntable Sessions. I tell you, I do agree, though, that time flies when you're having fun. I also agree to come back right here to Hawk Radio at our regular time this Friday afternoon at 3 Eastern. That'll give me a few days to stock the shelves with concession candy and some popcorn, too. That's because I'm taking us to the movies, baby. Friday's show will revolve around the most memorable and successful music from classic soundtracks to include rock, pop, blues, and even some country music. And then I'm going to go ahead and sprinkle a couple of Halloween's greatest hits on top of it. Keeping in mind that Tatiana, Levinsky, Big Sarge, Ike, and I will all return together again next Tuesday morning here in our regular time slot for an all-new and live hour of the Evolution Exchange. To get you ready, you can always relive any of the three most recent hours of the Evolution Exchange or any of the three most recent Tampa Turntable Sessions, for that matter, as I encourage you to go check them out. They're available on demand and for download for free at hawkradio.primostream.com. That's hawkradio.primostream.com. Thank you for dropping in and listening. I am, and always will be, the aging teen idol Mike Frazier. And until Friday afternoon, these are my last few words. Later.